Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 9.
Welcome back to another episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers. We're coming to you live. Well, live. We're recorded from Urgent Beer Company, where it all began. We're back here.
Oh, yeah.
Roughly a month and a half or 2 months after we originally shot here the first time.
It's true.
Yeah. And, Curtis, what are we doing? Why are we here?
What I'm doing right now is I'm drinking beer. I don't know what you're doing. But,
I'm doing the same thing, yeah.
We actually decided to come out for Virgin's second can release.
Yes. Virgin has released 2 cans, which you may have seen make an appearance on previous episodes of this show.
Yes.
They did Citrus Melon Pale Ale and Everybody's Juicin' IPA.
Yeah.
And now they're releasing 2 more brand new cans. We will we'll talk about those a little bit later on here, but they are doing Universal Secret. Which
that can artwork, though.
Woo. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Pure Project. Better watch out.
Up
their game. Actually, no, it's all friendly competition, right? You know?
Yeah.
It's the best form of imitation is stealing someone else's design.
This is very true.
Not saying that Virgin stole Pure's design, but it looks pretty sick.
You're throwing shade, but not intentionally. I like it.
So, what we're also doing here is hanging out with a whole bunch of luminaries in the local craft beer scene.
Oh, yes.
Beer bloggers, such as yourself.
It's true.
Which, and people on Instagram, and people who do podcasts, and people who are in the industry or in the trade. And Curtis, actually, since we've launched this podcast, you launched a beer blog that you have been faithfully
writing. I did. I definitely noticed myself kind of slacking a little bit, but I made it a point to appease my masses and make it more of a point to, more frequently anyway, at least once or twice a week. I want to go for eventually like 3 times a week just because I talk a lot, and there's definitely a lot I could talk about, so, yeah.
And what better way to talk than through the written word, published on the internet for anyone, everywhere, to read, for web crawlers to harvest and put you into search results.
Yeah. Not going to win any Pulitzer Prizes, but I definitely write stuff that you're going to be very, very relatable to.
And the name of your blog is Between Beers and Other Bullshit.
Yes.
Which means that someone, eventually, if you just Google the word bullshit, his blog should come up eventually somewhere in the scenes. So, watch out for that.
Yeah. It'll be in your neighborhood near you. But, it's kind of nice. Pretty easy setup. I felt it was a little bland to start with. I definitely feel writing process is getting much, much more fluid. A little easier to come by. I mean, we have tons of material living in San Diego as far as beers go. But
oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, it's still a work in progress. Don't get me wrong. I definitely have... I have quite a ways to go until I'm one of those that gets those invites to Beer Fest for the hell of it just to write about them. So
that's the goal, right?
This is the goal. I would like to get this thing going to where you send me out to drink your beer and I write about your beer. So I'm cool with that.
So one of the things we're doing here, one of the things you just wrote about recently is something that we're no stranger to. We've been doing it for a long time, but it's one of our favorite things about the craft beer community, and it's one of the primary ways I'd say that we all form connections and kind of cultivate relationships is through the good old-fashioned time-worn, age-old practice of bottle share.
Yes.
And what is a bottle share? If anyone out there tuned into this podcast is like, oh, I have no idea what a bottle share is, which probably most people listening to this do know, but what is a bottle share?
For the most part, the easiest way to describe a bottle share is you take a fellow beer nerd and you find about at least 3 or 4 more of them. You bring some beer and you tend to share this beer. You would think it would be self-explanatory with the name bottle share.
Yep.
But it's... I did write a piece recently on kind of how to make your bottle share better in a way. Took a little inspiration from Donald Trump, don't hate me, but it's entitled Make Bottle Shares Great Again. And just kind of went over the finer points of stuff you'll find in most bottle shares that could be changed up a little bit differently. So, I mean, there's... Every bottle share is going to be different no matter what happens. So, I mean, for me, you always got to find that share that's with good friends,
yeah,
super comfortable, no one's getting rushed, You bring in some good beer.
Hey, Brent. Good to see you, Brent. Take it off. Yeah, take it easy, man. Go back. Yeah, happy 4th of July. Brent, yes. a.k.a. Zombeach, just went by with his grip of cans. If you might have seen him go in the background.
Yeah, he's got himself a barbecue this week. He's going to be very well stocked.
He is loaded up. Lucky people that are going to go to his barbecue. Hey, I don't have plans. I should have I should have dropped a few hints to him.
Slide into the DMs.
Hey, what are you doing for the 4th of July? So,
right.
We're recording this right before 4th of July with the idea that this is actually episode will hopefully go up right before the 4th of July. Yes. So. If you're watching this and you hear me say that, check the date.
Yeah.
So, what are we drinking right now, by the way? Since we're at a bottle share, we've been sharing some bottles.
Yeah. I mean, we're just getting started. You can definitely see that this day could...
3-4 in.
We're in a nice little prime right now for the bottle share. Nothing's getting too crazy yet, but there is potential. Right now, we are drinking a R&D project beer from New Glarus.
Yes, New Glarus.
Yeah, it was their
Wisconsin
sour vintage. It's basically a Chardonnay grape. I want to say white wine barrel aged sour.
It's a blonde. It's a blonde. Okay. Yeah, and it's like 10%.
Yeah, it's definitely it's nothing very light, but it is very deceiving because it feels a little light. I can drink a whole hell of a lot of this. I'm pretty sure you could as well.
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah, it just tastes crisp. And yeah. It tastes a little fruity and a little funky, a little saltine cracker. Yeah, I mean,
I'm a sucker for wine barrel aged sours in general. You throw wine grapes in there as well, and you had me kind of at hello. So
it's delicious. It's got a great amount of like nice funk character with a little bit of like nice woodsy undertones that are just there, like the oak. But it's not. The oak is like. Perfectly in tune, I feel like, with the white grape.
Yeah.
It's not... Sometimes you have a beer and it's like licking a plank of wood, the wood character, the oak barrel.
I always like to call it pulling a splinter from the tongue.
Yeah. You get that sometimes. Yeah. This one's not like that. This one's delicious. Yeah. It's crystal clear.
Yeah.
It was aged over the winters of 2015 and 2016, and we've got more visitors coming in.
Hi, right Kate.
Now. Hey, Kate.
Yeah, so the big thing with most wine barrel aged sours I do like is you get that little. It's like if someone took a wine corkscrew and just put it right here in the side of your mouth and just twist it just a touch. It just has that real nice bite right on the corner. Oh, yeah. Oh hey, lady.
What do you think of this one, Sean? Sean's here too. Small poor Sean.
Sean's
AKA.
Drinking your beer.
Is this the New Glarus?
It is indeed.
It's fantastic, especially for New Glarus. This is the first one that I've had from their R&D that does not taste like straight candy. This one's super like dry on the back end. It has a nice little funk to it. You get that. It's bread. Taste that.
Are you thinking of? You're talking about straight candy. Are you thinking about like the raspberry tart and the cherry ones? Those
are fruit beers.
Those are fruit beers. Yes, they're not the R&D series. The R&D series is different.
Those were R&D.
Those are those big-ass 750s that just never stop filling up, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're sweet as all hell, but...
And you got to be careful, because they will stain the insides of your body permanently.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, my bad. This is freaking delicious.
Pooping fruit roll-ups by the end of it.
This is, yeah. I'm actually, you know what? Of the R&D beers, I've only had a couple. The last one...
I think I brought one of them. Was the 2015 Gold Nail we did was... Belgian golden single with just Brett all day long on it.
Oh, Brit, you hear that, Brit?
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah, it was, for not expecting what it was definitely like square to being a Belgian blonde, but it was...
Whenever someone says Brit, I just hear a Jermaine Clement's voice in my head. Brit? Hey, Brit.
Gentlemen Broncos, where are you?
Oh, God. That's a great movie. Yeah. Wow. You've seen
that movie,
huh?
We can divulge real quick, but I'm not going to.
Gentleman Broncos is one of those movies that did very poorly at the box office, and I feel like a lot of
Napoleon Dynamite crushed it.
Oh.
Gentleman Broncos is better than Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, easily.
I'll be the first one to say it.
Endlessly rewatchable.
Yeah.
Much more so than Napoleon Dynamite.
It's true.
Dare I say more rewatchable than Nacho Libre, even though Nacho Libre is kind of, in its own way, a seminal classic that will never die.
It's for all of us that have lived in Escondido know all about Nacho Libre.
I think, actually, and going back to R&D Sours, I've had one that was a goose. It was a long, long time ago, but they did one that was a goose that was quite good. So, to look that one up, I'll put it in the show notes if I can go find out what it was. And we'll put this one in there, too. And then, but also, let's talk a little bit about, there's this bottle over here that you recently acquired.
This is mine, don't touch.
That I've seen it now, it's too late, so. Well, what is this?
So what this is good old beer from Side Project. This is their third blend of Merci.
Yes, blend number three.
It was actually pretty interesting how this came about to be in my possession. A good buddy of ours, Alan, actually had told us that there's this little charcuterie place out in St. Louis called the Wine and Cheese Shop.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Wine and Cheese Shop.
Yes. I apparently did not know that they shipped to California, and they actually did the release for this beer with Side Project, where they did it's like a 2-hour pickup window where you can come in, pick up bottles, and then after that, it went to an online sale. And I was thinking to myself that I'll see if I can get some of these bottles. Apparently, Joel just decided to disappear. That's cool, though. So I'm going to keep talking for the hell of it. Basically, yeah, what this thing was is a really nice blend of four different barrel-aged saisons.
There you go. I just wanted to make sure we were good. We had a little bottle opener.
Oh, I got that on my keychain.
Handy.
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah, so it was actually a pretty cool setup with most of their beers. They do blend for the most part. It's not going to be a single base beer out of a barrel. This one here is a lot of Fooder Age Saison.
Well, it's a Saison. It's a Fooder Fermier. It is also a 3-year-old Missouri Wild Ale. And a 4-year-old Missouri Wild Ale all blended together.
Yes.
So, Beer Friends just left, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
He came in and jumped in the picture,
Sayonara,
too.
Sayonara, Beer Friends. Toodaloo, dude. We need to do a podcast with him.
This is very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to get Ozzy in one, too.
Oh. Yeah. See, all these people that were name-dropping, they're going to be on the show. Yeah.
Make Beer Nerd Pictures great again.
Pester them, yeah.
The next
totally.
Podcast.
Honestly, yeah. We'd love to go behind the scenes, too. Those guys take some incredible photos.
Oh, yes.
If you've ever seen any of their stuff, we'll put the links to those guys in the show notes, too, because you owe it to yourself to see their photos.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you finish this guy up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see how long it takes caterers to get over here and drink some of this.
Oh, she's standing up high, so she gets a good bird's eye view of all the bottles right now, I think. She's kind of short anyways, but I don't know if she does. Dankeschön. I should have had you put it in my fancy fundamental summation glass that I brought for all of our video viewers to see all my fingerprints on it.
I know, right? Super clean.
Really cool. A really nice friend of mine hooked me up with this.
I heard that guy's an asshole, so it doesn't matter.
So, Merci, Blend 3. And it looks exactly... Okay, no, it's a little haze. It's got a little gerp going on inside of it. A
little bit of funk.
Oh, hey, our cameraman here has abandoned his post so that he could get some beer. Yeah, for sure, dude. Cheers, Aaron.
Cheers, guys.
So, I've never had any of the vintages of Merci. Have you before?
Oh, that's quite delightful.
Like all Side Project
Ooh, that's
beers,
really good.
I'm certain this one was sold rather quickly.
Yeah, I mean, once it hit the actual online portion of their sale, I think a lot of people sat on their thumbs a little too much because of the fact that they had to go pick it up from the place instead of typically going to Side Project like they usually do.
Yeah.
It sold out, I want to say it was like about 1.5 to 2 hours after it went online.
Oh.
Which for
that's
most
a, that's
sales,
an eternity.
That's, yeah, it's forever.
That's forever. That's crazy, yeah. But it's like a Bottlelogic Iridium Flare was available for 48 whole hours.
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
It instantly went to distribution right afterwards.
Yep. Literally.
Yeah, this is a... I might have to get another pour before we pass this bottle off.
It's complex.
Very much so.
It has layers of what I want to call funk going on in it, yeah. But also has a fairly, it's not astringent, but it has a fairly assertive, sour, tart kind of finish.
I feel like most of their beers really do, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I'm thinking of, you know, like Saison de Fermier and Saison Dublay. Yeah, and Grisette. I guess a grisette doesn't really, but very pleasant, very yummy. Midwest, straight from the heartland.
It's just got, I know there's no wine barrel to this, or wine grapes to this, but it just reminds me of taking your typical, almost like your Chardonnay Viognier blend and mixing it with like a sparkling wine. It's got that nice sparkling wine effervescence to it. And then you just have this real nice hay funkiness on the back end.
Gotta get a photo for the Instas.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, get a photo for the Instas.
Get the label out. Proper pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you know. That's the sound of likes right there.
Right. I can feel the eyes behind us probably staring at that bottle. I don't want to look yet. I'm pretty sure there's a few people that are waiting for that bottle.
Who, if we wave it high in the air, who's going to be the first person to notice?
Oh,
that,
come on now.
Do you want some more before we do that?
Yeah, I got my pour there.
All right, here we go. It's like waving a white...
I'm going to go ahead and guess and say there's going to be a small Asian woman
behind me. See the first person that comes to it.
Going to pick
ooh,
this.
Hello.
Shouldn't take too long.
Does anybody want... Anybody want Merci? You know what? It's going to be Sean. Sean's going to be the one. It's Sean.
Small poor Sean.
You want to take it?
Not a shocker.
You want to take that and pass that around? Like the...
No mouth chugs.
Universal Mixed Secrets greens, huh?
Yes.
Universal Mixed Secret greens is a win. It's a hit. Not a B-side. It's a single. Of two beers melded together. It's a mashup. That's what it is. Remember those?
Oh, yes.
Remember when those were popular for like a day?
Was it VH1's pop-up music?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There was a couple different musicians, though, that rose to the heights on mashups. Danger Mouse.
It's true.
DJ Danger Mouse. The Gray album. Jay-Z's Black album and the Beatles' White album mashed up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic. An illegal... Well, I don't know. Gray market. Haha, no pun intended. Classic. Yeah. I don't know how you can find it other than Googling the torrents. Googling the dark web, the seedy underbelly of the internet. That guy's a full-on producer now, though. He produced, you know, all kinds of great stuff.
I'm going to take a look around me to see who has the bottle. I have a pretty good idea who has it.
Oh, yeah. It's Kate.
It's Kate. Of course it's Kate.
She's got the bottle. She'll make sure everyone gets.
Oh yeah.
She has
a small spot in her heart that needs to be full of side project at any given time. That's why I was like, if I'm a betting man, I'm putting money on it. It's gonna end up in my little small 5'6" Asian woman's hands at some point. So.
Kate was great. She hooked me up with Steve from Tired Hands, the cellar man at Tired Hands. What's up, Steve? Hope you're listening. Hope you're watching. And I met up with him and his girlfriend out in Philadelphia. And, you know, he passed me a 4-pack of Pineal for her. And so I dutifully brought it back and gave it to her. And then, but when I gave it to her, I told her, hey, just break off all the cans and just take a picture of one can with the four tops stuck on it and send that back to him and say, oh, thanks for the can. And she did. And Steve was like, what? Dude, I gave that fool a 4-pack.
Nah. That's the shipping fee and the
took a little off the top. Oh. Yeah.
That's the quote unquote gas money fee. We won't get into that, but
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we have up next here we have here's one of today's can releases. This is Universal Secret. With a beautiful, beautiful can art.
Absolutely.
We'll get Aaron to do some close-up shots of this next, but yeah, this started off as what? I mean, we had on the show, I think, twice now already, and yeah. This started off as a collaboration with Stone.
Yeah.
It is, quote, a zero IBU, IPA, but it technically, when they sent it off to the lab, I guess it did come back with, you know, like 40-something.
False
IBUs,
advertisement at its best.
But the flavor, so right now today it is freshly canned, been canned. And by the time this podcast goes up, it will have been released. But if it's not sold out, you should go get it because it's releasing on July 1st.
Yes.
This podcast should be up on July 3rd. So if it's July 3rd and you're listening to this and you're like, that sounds good, I want it, you should hightail it down to Bergen or call them and find out if they have some still. My prediction is they won't, but it's always worth trying. Last time the cans lasted for a couple days and then they were gone.
I really felt like that was before most people realized what they were doing down here.
Yeah.
I mean, Bergen's been open since, what, November?
Oh, over 6 months. Yeah.
I mean, their IPA game right now for them has been crushing it, so...
Really, yeah, really, really, like, standing, like, head and shoulders above the crowd, I would say, for most new breweries doing can-release hoppy beers. And they've got a good pedigree, too. I mean, Anthony's got a lot of experience.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then here's Mixed Greens, which Aaron is modeling for us.
Beautiful happens to be in the green can as well. Who would have thought?
And right now, we just tried these a little bit ago. Right now, Mixed Greens is delicious, like right away.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, if you got cans of it, crack that one for the holiday. I think you're good. Universal Secret, I might say you need to let it set for just a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, most of the beers that are in that style anyway of the quote-unquote hazy Northeast style, whatever you want to call it, for the most part, anytime I buy them, I usually wait about a week on it to let everything kind of settle.
And what do you think? Like, do you have a scientific basis for that? Because mine is purely aesthetic. It's from many different cans and trying them and then basically being like, okay, these taste better after they've got a week, sometimes two weeks.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff I've had many, many IPAs from the likes of Monkish, stuff from back east. What I found is there's something about the process of putting it in from the tanks into the cans that they're not quite ready to just drink straight from the can right away. There's something that needs to just kind of, I feel like it maybe just everything needs to kind of like level out a little bit from any of the turbidity from the canning line and whatnot. I just found taste-wise, they do taste a little bit almost alcoholic, like fusel taste right off the bat.
Okay.
And once they kind of level out for about a week, let everything kind of sit, it's a little more straightforward as far as your IPA taste would be.
That's kind of like the flavor profile or what people use as a descriptor is they just say green,
yeah.
Right? Like not mixed greens green, but like green as in it's like
it's
fresh.
Young. It's fresh.
It's young. It's like a green banana or something. Like.
It's like with any occupation, with anyone that's starting any new job, you're going to be green. That's just kind of the same mentality when it comes to beer, too. It's brand new. It's green. It's going to need some time.
Spanking new. And look at the sweat. I don't know if you can see it. Just like the little tiny micro sweat.
Yeah, don't look at my forehead. Look at the cans.
Beating on the cans. Just, so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the beer that's inside of them.
It's going to taste magical.
It's even more beautiful. Yeah, for sure. All right, Curtis. Well, hey, thanks for doing another podcast.
You know, I'm always here for you.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Love it. And thanks for the merci. And also, thank you, Bergen, for hosting us today and for making incredible beer and releasing it into cans for all of us to take home and drink all by ourselves,
profusely,
but also share with
in the
people.
Shower.
In the shower, shower
running
beer.
Running on the house naked. I don't care. I'm going to drink it.
Hey, you know what we could do with some of these cans? We could take them to a bottle share.
What? What's this?
Even though they're cans.
What's this bottle share you speak of?
Yeah. Well, what we were talking about earlier, right? You know?
It's true.
And you can, too. You know it's within your power to do it.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never done it, all you have to do is call up someone else you know that likes beer and ask them if they want to come. And bring your own glassware, though, so you don't have to share, you know, lipstick
it's true.
With everybody else. I'm wearing lipstick. I don't know about Curtis, but I always wear lipstick for these
my
podcasts.
My lip gloss is popping.
Yeah.
So.
You got to make sure. Thanks again. Thanks, Bergen. Tune in next time. We post up episodes every Monday, usually. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tune in every Monday for another episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers. And in the meantime, do not be a stranger. And yeah, comment, subscribe, all that random stuff, whatever social media thing it is that you find this on. Do the thing that is the
come
you know,
stalk us.
Yeah, come stalk us. Come find us. You know, we're not too hard to find. We like being found.